Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. Yes, I mean. To pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my drop-dead gorgeous co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
So nice of you, especially after my proclamation that I'm having like such an ugly month.
Also, can I just say we've heard from plenty of people by now saying Todd did not notice any difference with your eyebrows. And Lindy said when she met you in person like a few weeks ago, you were gorgeous. So no one else is feeling this way about you.
Just ugly. Very ugly. It's okay. I'm really happy to be recording a bonus podcast with you. We took like a little bit of a summer break. It was a busy summer. I had to move you. Had two new dogs and life, so we took a little bit of a hiatus, but we are back, and I'm really excited to welcome our guest here today, because he is our our co-worker, you know what I mean? I don't work with him.
I work
on a podcast with me. You work with him. You are the bridge between us, but not really, because I've known Stuart for a couple of years now. Oh wait, I just announced it. Stuart.
Yeah. There you are. Hello.
When do I chime in?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Bloody big bridge, if so, because I mean that's like kind of all the way over, all the way back. Mm-hmm. Like that. Doesn't need to be that big. Hi. No, thanks for having me. This is going to be fun. I am really excited to talk about this film in particular, as it's one of my faves.
Yeah. So today we are talking about the 1999 movie Drop Dead Gorgeous, starring little known actors like Kirstie Alley. We got
Kirsten Dunst.
We have Amy Adams, whoever the fuck that is. Ali Janney.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Brittany Murphy. Hello, Brittany Murphy.
Yeah. Just a little, kind of like a little unknowns. So Stuart, you said that it's one of your faves. Tell us more about that.
So I don't know what it was that prompted me to watch this film back in the day. Probably Kirsten Dunst, because I think, not even low-key, slight crush on Kirsten Dunst when I was younger, because she's
rightfully
just wonderful.
So.
Yeah, like I'd gone through the whole kind of Jumanji phase onto like Bring It On. Like I'd followed like the Kirsten Dunst trajectory of films, and this was one of the stops on that trajectory. And I think this unlocked a real thing of humor in me, because it is dark. Like some of the jokes they make in this, a lot of it doesn't necessarily hold up these days, but a lot of it is kind of deeply dark and kind of just speaks to me with that kind of like, you have the jokes that everyone's thinking about that doesn't say, and this film is just like, no, we're going to say it. And
somebody does.
Yeah, it really does. And I love it so much. It's just incredible. And the cast is phenomenal. Like there's so many like big names in this who go on to bigger and better things, and you're looking at them and they're like, some of them have small parts, some of them have big parts. Like I don't know if there's actually many actors in this who aren't kind of big names these days, or at least well-known names. So yeah, I must have watched it maybe 20 plus times. It's ridiculous. And I don't know how, because it was never on TV.
You went to your local video store, I guess, something like that. So my exposure to this film is like kind of interesting, not really, but I had never seen it up until this year. And then somehow it ended up on Brenna's Plex, the shared site of
the infamous
piracy.
Plex.
Yeah, like a lot of people use this Plex and it's just like a bunch of, and like it just showed up, and I was like looking for like some background noise one day at work, and I like came across this movie. I'm like, I've never seen this movie. And I was like, this kind of looks interesting. And I didn't like really look too much into it. I just turned it on and I was like, holy fuck. Like, this is like the type of movie that I'm looking for in my life, because it's very of the genre of Jawbreaker, Heathers, a more recent thing that reminds me of is Get Revenge, which Jess and I covered with Mary a year or so ago. It's very much like of this genre of movie that I am like very into, where it's like very 90s, like dark humor, like kind of like inappropriate, but it's okay. And then on top of that, you know, Stuart, we had you on not too long ago with another mockumentary in mm-hmm. Best in Show. And this is also like a mockumentary style, which I think I had like talked about when we covered the whatever last time, that like I definitely had like a fascination with mockumentary styles when I was a kid or like a young teen. So this kind of just hit a lot of boxes. So it was kind of kismet. It just showed up on my doorstep one day. I pressed play and I fell in love. And I remember kind of like in one of the group chats on Discord that Jess and I are in, I was like, how did I not come across this? This is like my type of movie. It was a lot of fun. But Jess, you are new to Drop Dead Gorgeous, yes?
Yes, the first time I watched it was yesterday. And I said to Stuart, if I had seen this when I was like 12, 13, 14, in that, you know, age range, this would have been a movie I rented from the video store every weekend. Like, this would have been the movie. Yeah. Because it's quotable, it's hysterical, like it's so problematic in so many ways. It is deeply, deeply dark, but it would have been right up my alley. I still loved it as an adult, don't get me wrong, but like I could have just seen myself doing what Stuart said and watching it over and over and over again, because it's absolutely ridiculous. And to your point, Sarah, I also have no idea how this never came across my screen or, you know, anything like that, because I really liked Kirstie Alley when I was like around this age.
I did too. And like, this is the weird thing, Jess. Like, I mean, I really did like Kirstie Alley at this age. But from my exposure, I don't know if you watched like Look Who's Talking or something.
That was like my favorite one.
That, and then also, of course, which one was she?
It Takes Two.
I really liked her in This Takes Two. But I talk about a lot about the Tooth Fairy movie, and nobody's mm-hmm. ever seen fucking this movie.
Toothless, why? Right? That Tooth, one?
I think it's called Toothless.
Yeah.
Where she's the kind of like a bit of an a-hole and then dies and then becomes a Tooth Fairy? Yeah.
So she's a dentist. Kirstie Alley plays a dentist in this movie. And she dies. And then she, because dentists are like the most quote unquote cruel people in the universe, because their job is basically to torture people. She's in limbo. And in limbo, like before going to hell or to heaven, she has to work while they evaluate her case to decide if she's going to heaven or hell. So she is forced to become the Tooth Fairy. And we see her like become the Tooth Fairy. And this is a 1997 movie. If we can find it, I would love to watch it.
It's a TV movie, which maybe is why I didn't know it existed.
But it was on Disney. I was obsessed with Toothless. I was obsessed. It's like my favorite. I loved it. And I like really liked the universe that they created for this like limbo, because like different people got different jobs. Like one person became, I don't know, Cupid, and like one person became whatever.
This is great. This is really fun, like lore. It reminds me of Dead Like Me, where you die and you become like a reaper, and then you have to like work that job. That's sort of like your limbo, but you have no idea how long it's going to last. I reference Dead Like Me far too often, but it's like, I love the lore surrounding that. I love the idea of like, okay, you're a terrible, terrible dentist who likes to harm people. It's very, what's it called? What's Little Shop? It's very Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, well, I have a problem with Little Shop because of the dentist.
The dentist,
thing,
but yes.
Yeah. That's, I don't watch that. I have dental trauma, so I don't watch that movie. If we can find it, like that should be another movie that we try to watch. But yeah, so like Kirstie Alley, we got beef with Kirstie Alley because she's a Scientologist and maybe a Trumper. I don't know. She's passed, so rest in peace. But she had her time, and I like, especially in It Takes Two, I was like, she is just like so warm, except in this movie. This movie, she's a see you next Tuesday.
But in the best way, right, Stuart? Yeah. Like, she does the... So I had said to Stuart, if he had told me previously that this took place in Minnesota and that we would get to hear Midwestern accents, I would have watched this movie as soon as he said that, because there is nothing I love more than a Midwestern accent of the you betcha. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Like I eat that shit up. Like I don't know what it is that I have this obsession with a Midwestern accent,
like,
but I
itches
do. It scratches that itch. Mm. Yeah. It's just like, you betcha. It's just so funny to me. And so the minute words started popping out of Kirstie Alley's mouth and they were in like that accent, I full on fucking died.
It was fun. Yeah, Minnesota's really having its time right now, honestly. It kind of is.
I'm just kind of wondering about like, because Fargo came out a few years before, and I wonder if it was like piggybacking off of the whole kind of that accent alongside kind of dark things of like throwing you off. Because there's times where she like kind of speaks really kind of sweetly, and then she just comes out with these stinging barbs that you're just like, oof, that's like, even at the beginning where they're talking about like kind of the priest being a bit of a drinker, and it's like, it just proves too tempting, and it's like, how can you be angry with them being bitchy like that, because they're saying it in such like funny accents.
What did she say? We're God-fearing people. We're a God-fearing folk. It's just so ridiculous, and like the whole conceit of the movie is brilliant, where it's like small town pageant that everyone's a little bit too obsessed with goes wrong when like people start dying. As there was like the moment the tractor blew up, I was like, what the hell is happening in this movie?
Everything that you didn't know that you wanted. Yeah. Kirstie Alley said that she took inspiration from Fargo for her accent, Stuart. So
amazing.
Yeah.
She has the best one, I think. And then I thought Kirsten Dunst was really good as well. I thought her accent was like superb. And obviously we know she's a child actor. Like she can do no wrong, in my opinion. Kirsten Dunst is like a star and a legend. But I just had to shout out her accent as well. It was like so, so, so good.
It really comes out when they're doing the states and she's like having to spell it all. And it's like, A-L-A. It's like, it's like really that. And by the end, she's like really kind of like peppy and full of like kind of enthusiasm and energy when she's like at the end, she knows she's nailed it. It's very kind of like Bring It On Cheerleader, that kind of over enthusiastic happiness, which is like kind of, but yeah, the accent is just there solidly the whole way through.
So good.
It's really, really enjoyable. So how do we want to go through this, Jess? Like what, like,
gosh,
where to
I
start?
Guess, yeah, I'm just trying to think of, so let's like talk about the whole concept of this film to start, where it takes place in Minnesota and there's this annual beauty pageant, and it's a mockumentary, like you said earlier, Sarah. So like they're being followed by a TV crew, and one of the main characters is Gladys, and that she's played by Kirstie Alley. And she was like a prior winner. She's super, super involved in all of this. And she, of course, wants her daughter, who's played by Denise Richards, to become the next Miss, what, you'll have to remind me what it is, Stuart. What is it? It's like Miss Minnesota Rose something something.
Mount American Rose. Teen Princess.
American Teen Princess. Also, shout out to one of my favorite scenes where they're talking about, she's like, I just came up with the theme. I got it, ladies. And it's like, and it's like every prior theme has been like American forever, yeah. Like American, like all of
USA,
them are so,
A-OK.
it's too real, though, is the thing. Like,
she's like so middle America, so small. Yes. Town, middle America.
Right, Sarah? You could totally see this being a thing where it's just, yeah, like, I just love my country so much. I just love it.
Yeah, I was too ugly of a child to perform in beauty pageants, but it was, it, I mean, like, there were people even in the East Coast Jersey that would do beauty pageants. And I remember, like, Jess, did you ever get in the mail, like, one of those, like, ads to, like, sign up for a beauty pageant? No.
I live in New York. I don't know. I mean, I guess that was probably a thing. But to me, that always reads very South, like beauty pageants. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but that's how I always felt it was.
I've never really. Oh, my God. Wait, hold on. I just had a memory. My best friend's husband was a beauty pageant boy. And like, there's like a lot of pictures of him in like little cowboy outfits and like performing on stage in the talent. Oh my gosh, I just remembered. It was amazing, but he's from Texas. So yeah, it is like a very like Southern thing, but like the benefits of being in a beauty pageant is scholarships. A lot of the times, like, these people do live in small towns. They don't have a lot of money. So they win not only the crown and a sash, but they win grants or scholarships so that that can get put towards school and getting out of the small town, which is Kristen Dunst's dream, or at least like her mom's dream for her, and probably why she started. Amber. That is like probably what Amber's mom wanted for her, is that she would win these beauty pageants. She'll get out of the small town. She'll be more than a hairstylist stuck in a small town type of thing, living in a trailer park. And so like, there is a lot of good that comes with beauty pageants. And I watch, I'm like one of those people that like, if I catch like Miss America or Miss USA on the TV, like I will sit down and watch it. Like I find it really interesting. But of course, when there's that, there comes like a lot of bad too. Of course, there's like bad competition. There's like eating disorders that come with it. There's like a shit ton of scandals. So especially with these like small towns where like there's not that much going on. So all they have to do is like really literally kill each other over winning a beauty pageant.
It's a serious business, it seems to me.
It is serious business, yes.
But it's such a foreign concept because they're not a big deal over here in the UK at all. My real exposure to like beauty pageants has been, I think, overseas mocking of American culture's like obsession with them. Like the whole like toddlers and tiaras thing is mental to me. Like that whole business is just so absurd and strange. But there is some legitimacy to it. Like they do get like scholarships. They do get kind of like opportunities that aren't afforded to small towns. So there is kind of a reasoning there that I can kind of get on board with. But not in this case. They get $500 for their scholarship here.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable that is all they get. Actually offensive. And yeah, it's really funny because this is, you kind of see this with a lot of small towns, not just with beauty pageants, but with almost anything where they get very, very invested in what seem like small potatoes because it's a small town and everyone knows everyone, right? Like to the point where the judges for this contest, this beauty pageant, are like seemingly random locals. One guy who really needs to just go to jail. I don't know if he's actually done anything, but he needs to be in jail right now. Horrendous guy.
Did you clock his name? So his name is John Doe, which makes me think that he's actually in witness protection so that he has probably done something like that and is just not being kept on a good enough leash where he has been put. Yeah, creepy as when he's got the camcorder.
Yes.
Ooh, skin crawl.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of stuff like that in this movie that certainly does not hold up by today's measure. You know, the R word gets said like at least 15 times, probably more, because of a character named Hank, who is like, this guy looks familiar. Actually, I want to click on his IMDb because he looks very
Will Sasso.
Yeah. I've definitely seen him in something. And him and his brother own like a local store. And so they are like on the, what is it? Not a committee. What is it called? The judges. They're on like the judges panel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all like, this is, it, there's like, it's, the town is obsessed with this pageant. And so you have all these girls who are trying out for it. And Amber, Kirsten Dunst's character, is like this very sweet, I mean, kind of what you'd expect Kirsten Dunst to be playing, you know, like the girl next door. She's very sweet. She tap dances while putting makeup on cadavers for like a funeral home, which is adorable and hilarious. And her mom is just, her mom
trailer trash. I mean, like, let's be,
yes, but you can't say that real anymore. Like, you can't.
Why not?
Because it's not nice to people who live in trailers.
But she's trash and she lives in a trailer. Not
she is
all
trashy.
Not all people that live in trailers are trash. She is trash and she lives in a trailer. She is trailer trash.
But we need to talk about her BFF, who is played by the one and only Allison Janney.
Absolutely icon. Spectacular.
Yeah. Stuart, tell me about your obsession with Allison Janney, because I know you love her.
I love her so much. I am a huge West Wing fan. I've watched it God knows how many times. And CJ Craig is one of the best female characters of all time. And Allison Janney is one of the best actresses of all time. Like, from her kind of standout roles as like the Mommy Night Tonya. Incredible. Like,
yeah, that
standout
is
in that.
That was incredible. Yes.
Until, because I'd watched this like years before I'd ever watched West Wing, because I came to West Wing kind of later on, once I was kind of a bit more grown up and maybe had an appreciation for politics, but I never really clocked it until after I'd gone back to watch this after watching West Wing, and I was like, oh, it's no wonder I love her so much, and then kind of put it together. The hair is iconic, the accent's iconic. She's just, the character has, in, I think if anyone else was to take on this role, would be so unlikable. But Allison Janney brings this kind of gravity, this kind of radiance, this warmth to it that just makes you absolutely fall in love with Lorette. Because Lorette is so self-aware as to what she is, and she just owns it. And she has no apologies for being who she is. She's brilliant. I can't gush about her enough, really, because she is just the heart and soul of it for me.
Was Allison Janney like held hostage to be on Mom?
I think
she
so.
Might have been. I think so. That's the, probably the one down thing in her real career, but yeah.
Hilarious. Can I ask, because now we know, like, you know, for Stuart, Allison Janney equals CJ. For me, she equals the guidance counselor from 10 Things I Hate About You, where she goes, Cat. Kitty cat. Wow. The one who's writing like porno on her like work computer. And she's like, what is the synonym for engorged? You know, that is to me who Allison Janney is. But Sarah, what do you recognize her from the most?
Mom.
Wow.
Sarah, that's so sad.
I don't know. I just know her, you know?
Okay.
I just know her. I don't know.
She's just around.
She just bobs. I mean, like, I agree. Like, I thought that her performance in I, Tonya was absolutely brilliant. She was in Juno. Like, I mean,
she was in Juno.
Mm-hmm.
Did not remember that.
Yeah. So there, I mean, like, she's been around for forever in this and that, but I don't think that there's one thing that I watched in particular. Like, I was never like a West Wing person. Of course I watched, 10 Things I Hate About You, being like a 90s kid, but she's just like one of those actors that I'm just like, yeah, like, I, she's been around and I respect her and she's like beloved.
Mm-hmm. So it's like This cast of characters, they're all hilarious. They all have their own little quirks and things. And this is why it's funny, Stuart, that like we did talk Best in Show and now we're talking Drop Dead Gorgeous, because of the mockumentary style, like getting to know these characters is so fun when you have just like the talking head of them just having a conversation and being interviewed.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Specifically, have we not mentioned Brittany Murphy yet? Brittany Murphy, icon queen, rip to Brittany Murphy. I adore Brittany Murphy. I think she is like, she was so beyond talented. And I love her in this movie because she's so like dorky, but adorable. Like you just want to like hug her and be her, but also like take her under your wing, you know?
Yeah. It's very Thai adjacent. And
yes.
Like this is like a like 4 years after Clueless, but I definitely feel like this is like the type of continuation of character of Thai, like early Brittany Murphy, like adorable kind of type of thing, but with like also like, with like a little bit of like, she has this like, she's not from New York, she's obviously from Minnesota, but her dream is to go to New York because she looks up to her brother so much, who is very talented, an impressionist. He can do Liza, he can do Barbara, he can do probably Cher, definitely can do Madonna. Like mm-hmm. What an absolute talent. But she really looks up to her brother and she wants to go to New York as well, although she like wrestles with the fact that she's like not as talented as her brother. But I thought it was very cute that she was like, I forget her brother's name, but like he's like amazing and I want to go to the Big Apple just like him, and he like can do this, and had all these pictures of like him in impersonation costumes. It was very endearing. But she also like kind of had like an edge and like dropped curse, like she's kind of like, oh, I think people from New York are like this, so I am going to act like this person.
She's very I want to say like Tumblr Hamilton girl coded, but years before that was a thing, you know, like kind of yeah. Person that kind of watches one musical and is suddenly like, I love Broadway, and it's like everything is about musical.
That's me. Yeah, that's hello, it's me. I love Hamilton, and it is the only musical that I love just so extremely. Yeah, I love her because she's so supportive of her brother too. And right, this is, we have to remember that this was like a 90s movie, and like being a drag queen isn't as like in the zeitgeist in the pop culture conversation like it is today. Like it was not treated with like any sort of level of respect. And so I love how much she loves and adores her brother, and it's just so sweet. Also, isn't she you were saying, Sarah, right, she's the character who gives Kirsten or Amber yeah. her outfit. Yeah. In the finals when she doesn't get it approved by Gladys or
that was a bunch of bullshit. But yeah, so basically, yeah, Amber's costume gets stolen, obviously either by Gladys or her daughter, and she doesn't have a costume. And then one of the other heads of the competition gives her this like black bodysuit, but it doesn't get approved because costumes have to get approved a week before the thing. So Brittany Murphy's character says, I know I'm not going to win, and that's okay, plus my brother is like the star of the show anyway, so I will give you my costume and you can wear it so that you can go out and perform, you know, like I will give that to you and I'll drop out of the competition, which was so sweet. And I also like that scene because all of the girls, except for Denise Richards, is surrounded her and is like supporting her and like feels for her because, you know, she doesn't really care about winning. Like Amber wants to win, but like not like Denise Richards wants to win. Like what she really wants is to dance for her mom. So I was just like, I want my mom to see me on stage and dance. And like, that's what she wants. She just wants to like complete the competition. Winning would just be the cherry on the cake or on the ice cream, the icing on the cake. There's like, there's the cake and then there's the icing and then there's a cherry on top.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We need to talk about all of these accidents that start happening because this is wild. We meet a character whose name I don't remember because she kind of ends up being not important. Is it maybe Tanya or something?
Tammy.
Aunt Tammy. Mm-hmm. She is like the jock and she's riding a tractor. She's going to compete in this competition. She's riding a tractor and it fucking explodes. It just explodes and she's dead.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, the issue was that she was smoking on the tractor, which apparently is known information, and she does explode. So I think this is a case of gasoline on tractor, maybe, just like the swan. I'm not quite sure.
You would buy into that, wouldn't you, Sarah? Because I have it on good authority that Tammy only smoked after a good drive. So you're playing into this whole thing of like it's being an accident. This is murder.
No, I know it's murder. So, but like, okay, so like, let's break it. Like, is Gladys literally planting bombs on the tractor, or is this like I'm going to like? How is this done? Because spoiler alert, it's Gladys. Like, it's Gladys the whole time. Maybe Denise Richards' character helps here and there, but. It's Gladys so that her daughter can win. How is she doing this?
I thought she had like people, right? Because like her husband has money, like they have influence in the town. I always assumed she had people involved that were helping her do all of this.
You always assumed as per like yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah. Ever since yesterday, that's what I assumed.
I don't, like maybe, like she definitely has like the town folk that she can get on, but this is like a big scam because I forgot. Oh, no, never mind. The last year's winner, they say it had to do with her ED, but mm-hmm. like I wouldn't be surprised if they did something to her as well to ensure she doesn't run again. So like this is like a big murdering scam. And I think Gladys doesn't have much to do besides murder all these teenagers.
Yeah, I mean, this is her seemingly singular focus. Like all she cares about is this pageant. Like ever since she was in it, that's all she's ever wanted is that her daughter was in it. Small dreams, maybe, because this is something that I don't know, maybe they can only enter it like when they're a certain age, like or in a certain year of high school or something. So it's like it's this year or that's it. So maybe they can't enter it again. So this is with her only daughter, her one time for this to kind of come together. And then she just starts thinking, well, I have to take out the competition. Because no, she goes for Tammy first, because Tammy is the one that beat her out for the gun club. And is the only person that's ever really beaten Becky in anything up until that point.
Because so, as we know, God loves winners.
Exactly.
That's confirmed.
It's just, I'm so sorry with that. The whole thing with the gun club. And then her shooting and like it gets the head on the target every time. And she goes, God loves winners.
It's unhinged. And then, of course, because of the gun stuff, when what's his face rejects Denise Richards' character, whose name's leaving me for the moment. And then he ends up with it getting shot in the head. It's like, well, of course, it's going to be her. But then her mum gave her the gun, right? So her mum clearly knows her way around guns and things. So she must just be like just doing what she has to do to go around, like just start taking out these people. And it's only because of the kind of changing up in the order of things and things that Amber seems to get away with it and stuff. So I think it is just that she, I don't think it's necessarily that she's got loads of skills and is covert and things. I think it's just no one expects this to happen. Like, how many times would you expect to check a tractor for a bomb that's maybe not even that clever or anything? if it is probably an old tractor or something. I don't know. But it's such a stupid, like, and unhinged concept of just, I'm going to take a local pageant so seriously that I'm going to kill over it.
I mean, it's weird. It's that, and then, of course, then Amber becomes, like, the front runner, right? Like, she's very talented, she's beautiful, she's kind. And so they blow up the trailer, her mom's trailer, and the mom has a beer can just permanently burned to her hand. And one of my favorite, and this is a tiny, tiny moment, when Amber is going on stage to, like, do her whole routine tap dancing thing, her mom blows her a kiss. And so her hand is gauzed up with, like, around the can. The can is still there. And instead of using her other hand to go blow a kiss, she does the beer can to her lips and then kisses. And it's so stupid and it's so funny. Like,
it's so brilliant.
It's brilliant. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I love it so much. So yeah. So they attempt to kill Amber. The mom gets really injured, but she ends up being okay. She's fine. She ends up having a hook for a hand later on. And Stuart, there was a party foul, can I just say? Because so she's trying to use this new hook hand, right, to open a beer later on. The move here is, ma'am, is to shotgun the beer because you have a poking device. So you just poke the hole, lift the tap, guzz, guzz, guzz.
She kind of gets there in the end with this, like, trying to shotgun it almost. She gets maybe like 1/10 of the beer and it's all froth into the glass that she's, like, pouring it into. But it's when she just so earnestly turns around and goes, I did it. Like, she's so proud of herself.
Yeah, I love how, like, Allison Janney was like, use your other hand. And, like, she was like, the doctor told me I should practice. Like, yeah, she's just, like, trying to practice. Why would you resort to a hook as a hand? I mean, Captain Hook did it not successfully, too. Why are we going for hooks?
I was assumed because they didn't have enough money to get, like, a nice prosthetic or something. But. That was my assumption. Maybe I was wrong. Is that
Captain Hook's issue?
I think he just likes that. His name is Captain Hook. I mean,
Hooks were all the fashion, like, around this time. So you had Hook, you had this. I know what you did last summer was a hook, if I remember rightly. Like, they're in fashion, maybe. Like,
they are in fashion. Choice? Yeah.
If given the option of just having a kind of Happy Gilmore, like, kind of just plastic hand, or a hook, which would you go for? I mean, I'd certainly go for the hook. Yeah.
We also almost get another scenario that Amber gets killed when she was supposed to go first and she switches her number to lucky number 8 because of Diane Sawyer. And she almost gets hit by, I think it was a light, but the girl that she switched with, who is a sign language enthusiast, winds up getting knocked out. And this is really when Amber realizes that, like, hey, they are trying to target me. And she tries to quit. And her mom would be more upset by her quitting than if she was experiencing teenage pregnancy. She's like, don't quit. That is the worst news possible. Like, well, I wish you were pregnant as a teen. That would be better for her mom.
Gosh, ridiculous.
It's a kind of ridiculous thing that, because, like, pregnancy is kind of almost like shackling her to this town. Like, dropping out is kind of a bad thing, but, like, obviously I think it's just the path that she's taken that now her daughter's kind of following in. And I kind of love the fact that, like, what she did to threaten her to stay in the kind of competition was to threaten to call up her dad and get back with him, like, as a great threat. It was hilarious. And it's like, oh no, she was never kind of she never lied about dad choosing his career over us. What was it she always used to say? Once a carny, always a carny. Which
okay, so wait, hold on. So her dad left the family because he was, like, a traveling carnival guy. Is that true? Allegedly.
Gotta be. I mean, the fact that she gets upset whenever she sees, what was it, cotton candy or a fat girl in a tube top.
Yes. A tilt-a-whirl.
That was it, tilt-a-whirl.
Yeah. It's so ridiculous. It's so like, again, the little one-liners in this movie, I feel like this is, I understand why you'd watch this 20 times, Stuart, because you're missing, you know what I mean? Like, you don't catch every single one, and every time you watch, you catch something new that they say. It's so ridiculous. And so, yeah, so there's all these like attempts on all the girls' lives. We have to get into some more of the more problematic stuff, where we get the character who won last year. She won the competition the year before. She's now in the hospital for an eating disorder. Mary Johansson, right? Is that her name? Played by Alexandra Holden, who I also recognized. Again, like, everybody in this movie is in something you've seen, whether it's like a one-off episode of something, or like every single one of these people has been in Grey's Anatomy. It's fine. Everyone's been in Grey's Anatomy. And she's in the hospital, and they have so many terrible, terrible, terrible jokes. Like, when Amber is brushing her hair, and like a whole ass chunk of her hair just comes out, and she just takes it off the brush, plops it back on her head. So
I love
gesture to the camera people, like, don't tell her.
I love that scene, because I mean, it's so funny. I know it's like not like it doesn't,
it's dark,
like,
it's,
I,
yeah,
but like the, okay, so like the camera crew is like following them around, and Denise Richards, which I'm so sorry, I'm forgetting the name, but she wants the cameras in the documentary crew to think that she's a good person. She pretends to go like visit the girl, and she's like, it's so nice to see you, and the girl's like, who are you? And she's like, that's a funny game that we play. And then what does she say? She's like, I forget what she says, but like, no. So I'm so sorry. So Amber says something, and then Denise Richards' response was that she has an eating disorder. She's not deaf.
The chocolates. Yeah.
She covers her ears. Yeah.
She brings on the chocolates, which fall into her lap as the kind of box kind of gives way. And she goes, oh, yeah, really good. She's anorexic, Becky. And she goes, it covers her ears. And she goes, she's skinny. And then, yeah, and she goes, and she's not deaf.
It's so terrible. I love it.
Some of these, like, stage performances are just so insane. Two come to mind, one being this character, Mary, where they have her in a wheelchair in this huge wig with the nurse pushing her around. And I want to say, Stuart, correct me if I'm wrong, I want to say they say, oh, she's going to sing Don't Cry Out Loud. And they bring her on stage and she's lip syncing Don't Cry Out Loud as the nurse wheels her around the stage.
It's so, so stupid, because like the way she's really like, she's proper going for it in the chair and stuff. But it's the little jog that the nurse does, but like as she's pushing along during the slightly faster moment, is just so funny to me. And this song has come up for us recently because we covered it on Talking Shit, because there's an episode where this song features prominently. And this is what kind of really made me shout about this film to you, because for me, that song had always been this scene. And so seeing it in Schitt's Creek made me kind of just blow up almost, because it just brought back all of these memories, because this scene is horrendous, really. You've got this poor girl with anorexia being kind of carted around in a wheelchair with an awful busted wig
and so trying to just
lip sync to this song.
They couldn't even get a good wig, how dare they. It was so horrible.
But somehow this isn't the worst for me performance. Like, there are worse ones.
No. Okay, you talk next to her about which one you want to talk about, because there's one that comes to mind, but I want to see which one you bring up first.
So there are many that are just cringe. Like, there's the drama student doing the kind of Soylent Green speech, which is just too much, and just kind of, then there's the dog barking, which is
like, I was so triggered when she's like
dog girls, and she's like, what? Oh god.
The German Shepherd that got sent to live upstate on a farm. I was like, stop it. We're not doing that. Stop. And she's like, oh, because I had beef jerky in my pocket. Oh, this poor girl. It was cringe though, yeah.
The I mean, hands down, the worst one has to be can't take my eyes off you, right?
The Jesus on a cross, dancing with Jesus.
The worst one is the best.
It's just
one.
The best. I mean, it's the best, but it's also the worst. It's just, it rides that line so well. When it happened, I was just on the floor rolling around. Like, I still find it funny to this day when he just rolls in this prosthetic Jesus on a cross that's hands are velcroed to the wood that she can then have him hug her. Oh, it's so unhinged. I love it.
It's very... I'm trying to think of a way to say this without offending anybody, but like the uber religious people that enforce their religion on you, who are like, let me introduce you to my good friend. She literally says that. Let me introduce you to a really important guy. It's so, oh my God. And then the dancing with him, like the ballroom dancing towards the end of the scene when she's carrying him like on her back. She leaves the stage. It's everything. It's so stupid, and I loved it.
I heard Dad loved it.
Oh yeah, I think this whole scene really influenced Mean Girls, like later on with the whole cutting to the audience and kind of having those kind of moments of like kind of proud parents or like too enthusiastic people kind of like cutting away for that kind of comedic effect. I think really saw that with the whole kind of Christmas dancing scene that they had in Mean Girls and that talent show. But the satire is just so good, and the way in which it really is just mocking the uber religiousness of these pageants and kind of Christian America, which is just not Christian in any way, shape or form. It's just performative. Like
Jesus loves winners, Stuart.
Yeah, it's like, what tree would you be? I'd be one with a good Christian trunk. Like, what? Yeah,
what does that even mean? Yeah.
And what is it? There's branches to shelter the homeless or something. I forget which one. Orphans or something.
Nice leafy branches to shelter kids on handicapped kids on a sunny day.
That was so good. Look, I mean, like, it was definitely working. Of course, the whole thing was fixed for her mm-hmm. to win. Becky's her name, right? For Becky to win. I guess they got paid off. It's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but that's what happened. But
mm-hmm. yeah, and so it's crazy. So they, yeah, so she, like, because we see this massive, like, Amber does this tap dance performance that, like, the crowd goes crazy. She gets like a standing ovation, like, everyone loves it. And but Becky ends up winning, and everyone's like, oh, okay, I guess. And she goes on this float, this like swan float or whatever.
Her dream. That's her dream.
Yes, dream big, Becky, dream big. It explodes, as everything in this movie does. I just want to know what the budget was for blowing up things.
The limit does not exist.
And Gladys gets arrested because she's the one who's been killing people. And I forget what she shouts when she's being carted away, but it is absolutely ridiculous. I cannot remember it. But yeah, so she ends up going to jail, and Amber, because she was runner up, right? She ends up getting into the, like, whatever, it's not nationals or sectionals or whatever, whatever the equivalent is.
This was state. Like, this was a town competition, and now she goes to state, Minnesota State. And she gets really intimidated because, like, she's now the small fish in the big pond instead of the big fish in the small pond type of thing. And she sees, like, tap dancers that are even more talented than her, like violinists. And she's, like, getting really down on herself. She's like, I should just, like, leave now. But prior to the competition, there is a big seafood buffet that wound up poisoning everybody. But Becky doesn't eat, what's her face?
Amber.
She doesn't eat seafood because her mom always says that you shouldn't eat animals that live in their house or something like that. I don't know.
Anything that carries its own home around, you never know when it was last cleaned.
So basically she by default wins the state competition to move to the national competition. Jess, could you believe that Amber lucked into another win?
I mean, yeah. Like, I think in the, later in the movie, they're like, oh, you're not, it's like, oh, good things happen to good people. And she's like, really? And she's like, no, you're just lucky. You'll be fine. It's like, yeah, that's kind of the situation. Is she's just lucky. She'll be fine. And it turns out that, like, I loved, by the way, that we get, it's one of my favorite things in these sorts of, like, cheesy high schoolish movies, when we get the kind of epilogue of, like, what happens to them.
Ew, I love that. And that is very, like, 90s, early 2000s. And I'm obsessed with that. One of the ones that I'm thinking of, and this movie is kind of reminiscent with, is that, like, Pregnant Cheerleader movie. What the fuck is the Pregnant Cheerleader movie? Yes. I'm so sorry.
You'll know. Yeah.
Sugar and Spice. It's very Sugar and Spice. Stuart, have you seen Sugar and Spice?
I don't think I have.
Okay, you would like
I
that.
I just thought it was a ripoff of Bring It On, so I never watched it.
No, it's not. This is, ooh. It's very, it's kind of just like this movie in tone, where it's like a little dark, like very like romp around, like there might be a documentary style as well. I'm trying to remember, but that movie has one of these too, and I love it.
That is going on the list, because anything that is slightly unhinged like this film,
it has the same exact like unhinged tone. Yeah,
nice.
And it's very it's a great way to kind of wrap things up on a film in a very like succinct way, you know, like it takes almost no time. You're flashing a little bit of like people all across the screen with a little bit of text, like, oh, mm-hmm. Kirstie Alley's character Gladys like has her own pageant within the jail cell and she was runner up. it's ridiculous. It's so fun. I love it. I adored this movie. It brought me back to the exact sort of movie I would have watched when I was a teenager. Like, I was very into Miss Congeniality, which feels like obviously similar with the pageant stuff, but it's so dark in a way that I wasn't necessarily. I have to be honest, Stuart, I didn't know almost anything about this film going into it. So every time more faces that I recognize kept, I'm like, oh my God, Amy Adams is in this? Like, what? She's in this? This person's in this? Every time it astonished me. And then when the first explosion happened, I was like, wait, what actually am I watching right now? Like, what am I doing? This is great. Yeah.
It's weird to see Amy Adams in this role, playing a very un-Amy Adams kind of role, really. It's like, it's not a serious kind of like Oscar bait kind of role that she is clearly, she mm-hmm. wants that golden statue. Just give it to her. She wants it so badly. But in this, she's playing like the slutty cheerleader who is, when being asked kind of, are you worried about the pageant and stuff, thinks that they're asking if she's worried about everyone finding out that she's pregnant. And then by the end of it, she becomes an exotic dancer that goes missing in the Philippines, I think it is, in the montage.
It's bad news. It's rough. But
she's a rough one.
Yeah, it's definitely rough. I really enjoyed watching this too, and talking to you both about it. I also liked how excited they got. They were for like going to like the Howard Johnson at the airport, and then they didn't even get to stay over. Just like, it's rough. Like, it's just like so like small town America.
Yeah,
like
I think that's why I enjoyed it too. Is like, because even I wasn't from a town like this, where, you know, I'm not from middle America. I wasn't from a town like this. I was from a small town. But like the little things that you get really excited about when you're that age of like, oh my gosh, we get to go stay in a hotel. Like, it all just feels very glamorous. And so I can at least appreciate that aspect of it. And yeah, I love the fact that each character felt very unique, very different from one another. None of them felt like, some of them felt tropey in like character, like a caricature, but in a very funny way. And so they all each had their own like little unique things. But I love the camaraderie too, where they all agree that Becky sucks and no one likes her because she's mean. She's really mean. Like when they're waiting to find out who the winner is, and she like again drops the R word, which not fun hearing that so many times. she was like, oh, what did they allow him to count the votes or something? Like, she's just rude and mean. And also, shout out to the moment in the film where I think it's Becky who wears a Mount Rushmore thing on her head. And she is one of the heads. Whoever came up with that.
That was very good.
It was so funny.
Yeah, that in particular, like, why am I proud to be an American? And like, each of the costumes were very good. We had Brittany Murphy had a tinfoil Statue of Liberty on her head, and she was like trying to light the candle and like she couldn't get it. And then like one of the girls had like the giant ball of yarn or something. She's like, I misunderstood the assignment. And then what else? It was just like
the girl
all
with adoptive Asian parents who
the
mushroom cloud. And I was like, that was one of the worst. It's like, atomic power is why I'm proud, and you've got Japanese parents. I was like, jeez.
And she was like, as a Asian American, and it's like, this girl is like white and she just got adopted like last year. It's like, what is she
horrifying
saying?
yeah some of it certainly doesn't hold up well, but and then another one in the epilogue was like the two brothers who own the store, like one of them dies and the other one gets left the place, and he's like, what was he wearing? He's like walking outside in tinfoil pushing
outfit,
a mower across a across pavement. Like, it's so much, but it was so funny and like so dark in the best way, obviously helped by like the absolutely incredible cast. Like, truly, like you said, Stuart, like all these people go on to do incredible things. The fact that they're all attached to this movie is hysterical. Do either of you want to take a guess at what this movie's rating is on IMDb?
I can't imagine it's high.
A 3.
It's higher than a 3. Good God.
Okay, there we go.
Is it like a 6 or something? I imagine it's probably 6. Got
6.7. Yeah.
Okay, that's not bad.
That's high.
It's not too bad. Yeah.
It should be higher, but that's just my personal preference.
Recognize its brilliance.
Yeah.
IMDb.
Like the things I like.
Yes. I'm trying to think anything else we need to discuss about this movie. Any other characters? The dad, Becky's dad and Gladys's husband, is played by Sam McMurray, who I recognize from Friends as Chandler's boss, but he's in like everything as well. Yeah. I feel like he always plays an asshole. That's like his thing. So
he has a brand. That's his brand.
Yeah.
The other thing is a weird coincidence. We watched it on Discord, and Todd joined us for a large portion of it. And Todd mentioned that he watched this and 10 Things I Hate About You back to back. Two films that have Allison Janney in, and also a cover of Can't Take My Eyes Off of You as well, which was just a nice coincidence.
But they're sister movies.
Maybe like cousins. Like, one of them is that cousin that you just kind of hate and you don't talk too much.
Rude.
Because they're a little bit off.
Yeah, that's 10 Things I Hate About You.
Never. How dare you? But no, this movie was truly a delight, and I would definitely watch this again, to the point where it is so wild and ridiculous that like I was talking to Will this morning and I showed him just the clip of the dance and song with the Jesus.
Perfect.
Like, I was like, you have to see this. Like,
what did Will think?
He was like, whoa. I'm like, yeah, exactly.
Was he moved?
He was brought to tears, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Emotionally moved.
Be divorced if he wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, this movie was great. Any other thoughts on it before we wrap things up today?
If anyone's listening and hasn't watched it, go watch it. Seriously. Join me in this. I am going to be evangelical about it. This film's great and everyone should watch it.
Well, Jesus loves winners, so you're in good company, Stuart. Yes, go check out this movie. It's absolutely wild. Thank you so much, Stuart, for visiting us over here on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. Where can people find you? What have you got going on? Obviously, plug Talking Shit.
As if I would forget. Yeah, as mentioned, Talking Shit, where Jess and I recap episodes of Schitt's Creek. We just wrapped season 2, We did our season 2 in review, and we're just about to start season 3, so things are picking up, because this is the point where everyone says that it gets really, really good after already being really good. So yeah, you can find me there. And then on the socials at Stuart Drinks Tea.
There you go. Sarah, what about you? What else you got going on?
We got some exciting stuff at Whirlwind. We have so many different things, pretty much everything. They just started covering Only Murders in the Building and Smash. Those are some new things. Pretty soon, previously on Pretty Little Liars, previous Little Liars is coming back, which I'm really excited about, because I've been waiting months and months to hear more Pretty Little Liars thoughts from Lindy and Adam and Marissa, and of course Todd knows all the secrets, so I'm really excited to hear it. And then yeah, we're still doing this and that, and check us out on Whirlwind Pods.
All right, you can find me at the Just Sterling. Beyond Talking Shit, you can also hear me. I did a guest appearance, a little mini series over on Crying Laughing, talking about Abbott Elementary and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because they're going to have an upcoming crossover this fall. So if you love sitcoms and love either of those shows, go check that out. It's been a ton of fun. Yeah, that's everything. In the meantime, follow us over at Shit 90s Pod, and we'll be back soon enough with more podcasts. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Just ask. Shit 90s Shows taught me.